Palm Sunday. And the reason why we call it Palm Sunday is because this is the Sunday that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Amen. And such an awesome opportunity. We're going to be mainly looking in John 12 today. We're going to be kind of in different places of the Bible, but we're going to eventually end up there. The big thing is, guys, as we talked about, Jesus was on a road that was going to lead him to the cross. And he knew where it was going to lead him all along. And in that road, you know, like last week we talked about his days of popularity. Whenever he was healing people and whenever he was feeding people, you know, everybody was cheering for him. And as soon as he starts bringing out the spiritual realities of our problem with sin, a lot of times people got up and walked away. But you see, the whole time Jesus knew that all this was going to end up at the cross. At the time of Passover, he was going to be the Lamb of God, that perfect Lamb who would give his life on the cross. And so we've got this journey that he's on. And in fact, we find, you know, that along that journey, one of the Gospels says that he set his face toward Jerusalem. You know, he set his face like flint. And it even talked about that in the Old Testament, about the Messiah having his face toward Jerusalem. He was going to head toward Jerusalem, and at that point, nothing was going to turn him away. Nothing was going to distract him, because he had a date. He had a date that was set, that he was going to provide the atonement for all the sin of the world. And so we find that that date had come. Jesus was heading for Jerusalem. It was just a little while before the Passover. And in the book of John, it tells us, chapter 12, in the first verses of that, that's where he stopped by his old friends, Mary and Martha. And you remember Lazarus? Y'all remember him? He was the one who was dead and in the tomb, and Jesus called him up out of the tomb, and he rose from the dead, right? 4 days after he had died. So, I mean, it was a big deal, right? Big deal. I mean, he was for real dead. And Jesus could raise someone from the dead. And if you remember, even at that time, he said, "I am the resurrection." Amen? And so he knows who he is. He knows what he came to do. He stopped by their house and was ministered to while he was there. In fact, Mary pours out this very expensive oil on him and anoints him. The name Christ means anointed one, right? Anointed one. And so, living out the prophecy here. And so he's anointed. And in that script, we find that not everybody was real thrilled about that. In fact, Judas, the traitor, he wanted the money off of that so that he could steal it, is basically what it boiled down to. And so he was unhappy that she had shown this kind of love. But it was all in preparation, because Jesus was on that road that was taking him directly to that cross. I can tell you, one of my aims and goals as a pastor and a preacher here is to help everybody to learn to be students of the Word, okay? So I want you to be in the Word even when you're not here. I want you to have your daily time in the Word. If you don't, you know, you and maybe you just get in it once or twice a week, you know, or whatever, you know, I'm happy for that. But I really want to encourage you, have a daily time, at least once a day, that you are in the Word of God in some way, shape, or form. It don't have to be huge. It don't have to be long. But let God speak to you, because that's how God speaks to us. And what I find to be so awesome is that as we look back into the Old Testament, guys, all that Old Testament was actually pointing forward to Jesus. And so I love to teach others to look for those foreshadows from the Old Testament. And so as I was contemplating Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and what a beautiful scene that is. You know, the King is coming. That's what they were all saying. You're the King. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're it. Hosanna, save now. That's what that word means. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they're saying, you're our Savior. They didn't have a clue how much of a Savior he really was. They thought he was only coming to save them from their slavery to the Romans. But nonetheless, they are praising him. I think this was also a blessing for Jesus to prepare him. He was being blessed by the praises of the people. The reason why they were waving those palm branches is because for thousands of years before that, in another festival that they did, the Festival of Tabernacles, they waved palm branches that was commemorative that the Messiah would come. And so they are saying, by waving these palm branches, who they believe he is. They just didn't know the scope of the salvation that he came to bring. But they did believe that he was the one who the Old Testament had spoken of. And so they laid those palm branches on the ground and covered the ground with them. And they covered the ground with their cloaks as if to say, "You are a king. I want you to come in like a king." And man, they were really placing all of their joy and worship during that time. Well, there were other times in the Scripture where we see things like this happen. And so if you look at your little study guide, you can just follow along with me. You won't have to turn in the Bible to each one of these passages, because I started out, I got to thinking, you know, I was praying and asking God, just show me the times that in the Old Testament where it was symbolizing this and foreshadowing this, because you see, God foreshadows things to reassure us that whenever he comes, it really is him, okay? And so you'll see where I'm going with this as we look at it. The first one is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 13 through 15, and this is the king. Once entered, this was a different king. It was a king in the same line. It was actually David. Entered Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. They brought the presence of God into Jerusalem. This was a time to celebrate, amen? And so it was when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David dashed before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So David, just think about how he was so excited. We find that he danced around in his ephod. Is it okay to dance for the Lord? I think so, if you're really dancing for the Lord. You're not just trying to get attention for yourself. You're dancing because you're celebrating him. I think that is awesome. I know I just said that in a Baptist church, but that's okay. Because I'm telling you something, guys, it's all right to celebrate God, okay? The kind of dancing that the Baptists have always historically been against is lewd dancing that is bringing attention in a bad way toward people, okay? But see, guys, celebrating, they had instruments, they were making sacrifices. Everybody there in Jerusalem was celebrating with the exception of a few. There's always going to be that exception of a few people that don't get it, okay? And it turns out, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but actually David's wife didn't like this. She despised him for it. But we can't let that get us down, right? We just got to keep celebrating the Lord. We got to keep celebrating the Lord, because there's always going to be some naysayers. That's because the enemy's in the world, and he's working real hard, okay? So let's look at the second example. The Bible actually prophesied that King Messiah, he would be the king, and the Messiah would come. And when we look at the reason why I picked this Psalm, Psalm 118, is because this is what they were saying the day that Jesus rode in. They were actually saying, they were repeating part of Psalm 118 in this. And so let's look first at how it starts. And in this passage, from verses 22 through 26, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord, or this is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, I was just praying that this morning. I didn't even realize as I was praying it that it comes from Psalm 118, the same psalm. Isn't that awesome? And so then it continues on in this thought, and it says, in verse 25, "Save now." And the reason why I put in parentheses, I put that part in there, that the literal word for that is Hosanna. And so whenever they said it up in the gospel accounts, they just screamed, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" What they're saying is, "Save now, you're our king." And so here it says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he." Let's read that last verse together, because this is what they said that day. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." Amen. That's the kind of blessing they were extending to Jesus that day. Can you imagine what an encouragement that was to him? Who wrote those scriptures in the first place? Now, someone else's hand was on the pen, but God was the inspiration. And he had it recorded back in the day of David through these psalms so that it would be shouted as the king rides into Jerusalem thousands of years later. Oh, how God is so awesome in the way that he does what he does. So then we look at another prophecy on that same note about the Messiah would come. This comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. Rejoice gladly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. He is just in having salvation, lowly in riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So this is speaking of the one who would come. The one who would come. And as they saw him ride in on this donkey, I can assure you the people remembered this prophecy. God brought it to mind. Because this entire time, why did he ride a donkey anyways? Why didn't he ride on a big old horse? I mean, partly because the prophecy, but why did the prophecy say he'd be riding on a donkey? It says, came humbly, came in peace, right? Isn't that what it says right here? It says, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Okay, so he's humble, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And you know, whenever he came to the town, if you read the gospel accounts about it, he sent his disciples in there, and he said, "Go on into the city, and you're going to find a donkey there with a colt that's never been ridden. Just untie it and bring it to me. And if anybody asks, you just say, 'Lord has need of it.' It'll be okay." Yeah, can you imagine? It's like Grand Theft Donkey. And so that's what they were being asked to do. But no, you see, it had been ordained for thousands of years. And so God would prevail in this. They would be okay with it because it was just going to be alone for this special purpose. And this special purpose was when a king come riding into a place and he was riding a big white steed, he was saying, "I am the conquering king." But when a king rode in on a donkey, Solomon rode a donkey. He was a king of peace. And so we will see that Jesus is saying something about why he was coming as the king. Now the people were thinking, "Save us from the Romans! What are you doing on that donkey? Save us from the Romans!" Oh yeah, that's right. I'm paraphrasing. But they're thinking, "Well, yeah, you are the Messiah, but this just don't look, I don't know," because guys, he knew it all along. They would try to force him to be the king who would free them from the Romans. He knew it before. In fact, the scripture that we read from last week, where people started getting a little disenchanted with him, he actually withdrew from them because he knew after he fed them, they were going to try to make him be their kind of king. And that isn't what he's going to be. What he's going to be is the king he came to be. And you know what? When he comes to us, he don't come to be the king we want him to be. He comes to be the king he came to be. He comes to be the total king over our lives because he wants to deliver us from sin. That's it. That's it right there. And you see, he came to deliver them from sin that day. They weren't all real thrilled about it. I can tell you some of that same crowd was up there in Jerusalem later on saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because he wasn't giving them what they want. Remember, you're popular when you give what they want, but you may not be so popular when you're not with everybody. Well, you see, Jesus had his face set toward Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem, and he was going to fulfill what he came to do totally, and praise God he did, because we'd all still be lost in our sin today. Let's look at another one. This is the one for today. King Jesus came into Jerusalem on his road to the cross. You see, he was riding through, and they were thinking he was come to set them free from the Romans, but he was really coming to set us all free from sin. And that was going to require riding on through Jerusalem. In fact, he was going to have a little stay there where they would give him this false trial. They would spit and mock him. They would beat him and everything. And I can tell you, he knew what lay ahead. And then they would put that cross on his back and make him carry it as far as his legs would handle. And even when he couldn't carry it anymore, they'd get somebody else to finish that road, because that road was going to end up at the cross. On that place called Golgotha. That's where Jesus was heading. But while he was on his way in, he had this blessing. And we see it here from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. The next day, great multitude had come to the feast. When they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, O daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. He is the Messiah, as it had shown for many years before. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Guys, if you read the whole text there, you're going to begin to find out there were some that weren't real happy about this. In fact, the Pharisees weren't real happy about this. And I'm going to turn back to the book of Luke real quick, and it kind of shows us what those Pharisees thought about the same event. Praise God for the four Gospels, amen? Because we get different viewpoints at the same event, and we get to see a much fuller picture. We look there at Luke chapter 19, verses 39 and 40, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Praise the Lord, the stones would cry out. Amen. He is the King. Let's give him a hand. Come on, let's celebrate him. We spend too much time looking defeated, church. We need to look victorious. And he went through that town that day, and they expected a certain kind of king, and it wasn't quite how they looked. You know what? I expected a certain kind of life as a Christian, too, and it ain't quite how I thought it would look. But you know what? It's better, because I'm in the center of God's will, and he's got a better plan. It's got bumps and bruises and struggles and trials. God is creating something better for me than just delivering me from the Romans. He's fully delivering me from the power of sin in my life so I can be his servant. He's got a plan. You know what? He's got a plan for you too. Praise the Lord. Come on, guys. Let's praise the Lord again. Let's talk about it here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, when he was hanging on that cross, all of his disciples were thinking, oh, it's over. It's all done. But what about the third day after? That's what proved it. The proof is in the third day. Praise the Lord. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I got more good news for you. We're just getting started. King's coming again. Just as sure as it was foretold ahead of time, and it was even played out ahead of time, and then it was done, it's going to be done again. And this time, I can tell you, he ain't riding on a donkey. This time, he's riding on the white horse because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at it there in Revelation chapter 19. Woo! Amen. It says, Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Ain't no donkey, it's the white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. You know why he's faithful and true? Because he said he's coming and he's really going to do it. Woo! Amen! And he says, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And I can tell you, if you're not on the right side of God, you're not going to be happy that day. But if you are, you're going to be thrilled because he's finally going to put evil in its place. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Fire always represents judgment. I'm going to tell you, nobody even has to say a word for him to judge them. He looks at them and he knows whose are his. He looks at them and he knows what's deep inside. And he judges perfectly, right? This is him. This is the one we're waiting for. And on his head were many crowns. Oh, he owns it all. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Woo! This is our Jesus, guys. This is our Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Do you know who that is? That's the church! Woo! Amen! So why are we all sitting back looking all defeated, guys? We know the end of the story. And now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Ooh, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. Let's say it together. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody has authority over Jesus. He has ultimate authority over everything. Woo! There is no evil that can overcome Jesus. Wow. Man, he is awesome. Praise God. Let's stop and pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you that just like Jesus said he was coming the first time, and yes, he came. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and yes, he did. He said he was going back to heaven, and yes, he is. And he is coming back, just like he said. Yes, he is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I want to tell you something. On every occasion, on every one of these occasions, not everybody was happy about the entrance of the king. It's just the way it is. And you know what? On that day, there's going to be some that ain't happy either. You know when that's all decided? Right now. Right now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about right now. Where's your heart with Jesus right now? Where are you with the king? Because guys, you can't be neutral. There ain't no neutral ground on this thing. A lot of people are sitting out there thinking, I don't want to be too good. I don't want to be too bad. I'm going to stay in the middle and maybe Jesus will be happy with me that day. No! You're either all the way his or you're all the way not his. There's no in between. There ain't no little bit in Jesus and a little bit out. It's all the way or nothing. Where are you? I'm just going to leave that one in your lap. Guys, the first time when we saw that first example of David, you know, even his wife didn't like it. You know what, guys? Even if your wife don't like it, you still need to love Jesus. Even if your husband don't like it, you still need to love Jesus. You don't have a choice. Praise God, my wife got that. She loved Jesus first. She kept loving Jesus, even though it wasn't making me real happy. But praise God, because I'm saved today because of that. How many people get saved because you love Jesus? How many people are going to get saved because you love Jesus and you show it on the outside? Guys, I'll tell you what. You know why more people aren't coming to Christ? Because we're not right with God. The church isn't right with God yet. You see, some of us might be right with God individually for our salvation, but we're not getting right with God totally so that we can be used of Him. And when we get really right with Him, and what I'm talking about is so close to Him that like your every conversation is with Him, you are pleased with Him, you're not hiding parts of your life from Him, you're all the way out in the light, you're thrilled to death about Him, He's your best friend, He's your almighty God, He walks with you everywhere. And then, guess what? You'll have the glow. And when you got the glow, and you're okay about talking about it then because, you see, it's already glowing. Woo! People are going to get saved because, you see, they're going to want what we have. That's where it comes from. Don't worry about what McCall says or your, you know, whoever in your life may be talking it down. It's okay. You know what? If you please Jesus, that's all that really matters. Evildoers. I can tell you guys, the evildoers ain't going to like it when Jesus comes back. If we're looking at it, He's got the sword. He's got the sword. He's going to strike them down. Y'all need to read the rest of that Revelation passage because it's really good. What you find out is He's got the whole army behind Him, but we never see them lift a hand. You see, they're just there with Him. We're just there. We. That'll be the church of today is going to be there with Him. Those who are truly His, we're going to have pure white garments, and we're not even going to have to get them dirty. You see, His is the one that's going to be all covered with blood because He's going to be stamping them out. You see, Jesus is coming back, and He's totally powerful, and I can tell you one thing, evil's not going to be left none to oppose Him after that day. And so what we see is it ushers in a new kingdom. And he's going to stamp out the rebellion of the time. And He's going to rule. In fact, in the Psalms, it talks about that, and that's where we're going to end our story today. This is foretelling of that time. Psalm 2, if you want to turn or look at your paper. Psalm 2, 11 through 12. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Can you rejoice with trembling? That's the fear of the Lord right there, folks. You can rejoice because you know He's good, but you also know He's all-powerful. You also know, man, He's got it all. And so, I mean, everything I need is in Him, and we tremble in His presence because of His greatness. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. Guys, this whole psalm is talking about the second coming and setting up of the millennial kingdom. How He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Guys, I can tell you, Jesus ain't coming back like He came the first time. He came meek and lowly, and he went to the cross. He settled it right there. Next time he comes, he's coming to rule. Question again is, where are you with the King? Have you truly put yourself in a place where you are surrendered and submitted to his will, not yours? That's where we got to be. What does that look like? Well, it may just start out by first confessing your sin to him. He already knows it. He just wants us to agree with him. We agree with him, and then we repent. Repent is different than confess. It's actually turning away from, going the other way. You just ask him, Lord, help me, because I can't do this on my own. I want you to be my Lord. You guide my steps. I'm going to do what you say. And you know what, guys? When you fail, it's okay, because he's still there. He's still there. You've made a true commitment at that point. He's still there, and he will help you get back up and continue on. I want you to be right with Jesus. Make sure in your heart right now that you are not. Let's close our eyes for a minute. I'm going to pray over you. Make sure that you're not resisting him in any part of your life. Oh God, I come before you this morning and I pray you'll search our hearts. Lord, we sit in this congregation together with unified hearts. Lord, your ways are not our ways. They're higher. Your plan is not like our plan would be. It's better. It's more complete. So Lord, we trust you today. We entrust ourselves into your hands, into your judgment. God, judge us now. Show us, Lord, if there's any wicked way in us so that we won't have to be judged for all of eternity. Lord, show us. Look at us. Show us. God, be our judge. Don't let our neighbor be our judge. Don't let our husband or wife be our judge. Don't let us worry about what man thinks. God and God alone is judge. And so, Lord, show us, teach us, help us to have a heart of repentance now. We're not going to get a second chance after we die. Help us to make sure we get it right. Lord, we can see from what you look like in Scripture as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not a joke. Judgment is real. Lord, help us to repent today. Give us a heart to follow you. If there's anybody in this place that has not truly given their heart to Jesus, I pray that you would help them to know that when you died on that cross, you paid for their sins right there. And when you rose again on the third day, you proved it. And all who trust in Jesus are called, given the right to become children of God. Let us trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, with many a doubt, fightings within and fears with that, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight, wretched, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Right, praise the Lord. If y'all want to have a seat real quick, we're going to do birthdays and anniversaries here in just a minute. Also wanted to just kind of capture the thought about the way that the woman anointed Jesus' feet. She anointed his feet. Mary actually washed his feet with her hair. There's another instance where that happened. It was in Mark, early on in his ministry. He went to a Pharisee's house, and whenever he was in there having dinner, some woman rushed in and was washing his feet with her tears and her hair. And you know, I can tell you, whenever I read the Bible before, that just didn't make sense to me. It just seemed like weird. But, you know, the statement that Jesus explained to the Pharisee about that, I can really relate to now. The Pharisee got upset. He said, if this man was a prophet, he'd know that what kind of woman that is doing that. She was a prostitute. And Jesus gave him this little story about two people that had been forgiven a debt. One was really great, one was little. And he said, which one do you think loved more? And so the Pharisee got it right. He said, the one who was forgiven more. And he said, you're right. You see, she's been forgiven much. She loves much. I can tell you, if it makes sense to you, what they did, and the way that they washed his feet, the humbleness, it's because you've been forgiven much. Amen. If it don't make sense to you, you may need to go ask Jesus. Ask him to show you. Ask him to bless you with true repentance so that you can be forgiven much. We all have much to be forgiven of. It's just we need to put ourselves at the feet of Jesus and let him show us. This week coming up is a very special week. You know, I don't get into commemorating a lot because sometimes we can get to where we worship the thing, our commemoration, rather than the actual God who needs to be worshipped. But through this week, I want you to be thinking about the steps Jesus took down that road to the cross. That's why I preached the messages the last 2 weeks. He had time of popularity. He's still being pretty popular at this point, but I can tell you his popularity is just about to fall off. He gets to the end of that road. He says, I'm not saving you from the Romans, and everybody gets mad at him. Even the very closest ones to him, his disciples left him as he was being taken to the cross. I can't imagine how forsaken he felt. And then hanging on the cross, you remember what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? He was totally forsaken. He felt totally forsaken at that point. What I'm going to encourage us to do is travel that road with him this week. Think about it. Think about how he had a week of preparation and what he did during that week. Read through your Gospels, the latter part of them. Think about it. Because it's amazing. It's amazing. I want you to connect with Jesus through that, okay? Let's feel what he felt. Let's think what he thought. You might say that's impossible for me, but ask him. One time I asked him to give me his eyes for the lost, and he did it. I'm sure I don't love him as much as he does, but I love him a whole lot more than I used to. He just broke my heart one day. He showed me how much he loves them and how it broke his heart that they're not coming to him. Changes the way we live. I want you to do that this week. I want you to do that this week. Let me pray over you again, and then we're going to see who has a birthday. Dear Father, I just want to pray over the congregation. Lord, touch us. Help us to connect with you this week as you would have been going to the cross, as you would have been working up toward that Thursday whenever you had the Last Supper with your disciples and then you were taken in for trial. Help us to connect with you that Friday whenever you were on that cross. You were feeling totally forsaken. Help us to connect with the disciples latter part of Friday and Saturday and early on Sunday. They must have been feeling so hopeless at that point. And then, Lord, when we join back together, we're going to connect with them about what they found that Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Please help us to really connect with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Happy birthday.